A very, very good evening. It is the Really Bad Mental Health Podcast, Season 3, Episode 9. We're here. Woo! A very good evening.
Evening.
Straight into it.
Evening.
How are you?
Me?
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah, me. I'm very well, thank you. I am having an okay week off the back of a good weekend.
Yes, it was enjoying a really good
weekend. The Fringe and Fringe benefits. see what I did there?
What other Fringe benefits?
I don't know, it just worked.
It does. I think it works.
Yeah, Fringe works. Benefits. It works. Yeah. I had a good weekend. A very
good.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, very nice. Very
excellent.
Nice. Yes. You?
Yeah, I'm well. I'm back from a holiday.
Oh, yeah.
A little mini break.
We didn't know about that, did we?
Did you not know? Can you not tell? I've been away.
All greased up. No, like you've
literally.
Been
yeah, not, she's not covered in grease.
No, not covered in grease. No. I am a bit tanned, though, I think.
You're very tanned.
Yes, are. Yeah. Yeah. You, I didn't realise that was a prompt.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
But yeah, no, it was a lovely holiday. Nice little 5-day break.
Oh,
nice
good.
And sunshine. And yeah, but now it feels like I've never been away.
Yeah.
That's always a bit crap.
I'll go away on Thursday if that makes you feel better.
Oh, yeah, brilliant. Thanks.
We had to hear about yours.
Yeah. And the rain's here, which is no good.
No.
Although apparently while I was away, everyone kind of texted me again, oh my God, it's so hot back here.
Yeah, it was like 30
degrees.
We've got
hotter than what you are. And I'm like, yeah, you sat by a pool.
Yeah, exactly. We were at work though.
Yeah. You sat by a pool with someone bringing you drinks and food. No.
No, I was at work with someone.
Yeah.
Were you all inclusive?
No, but there was a little machine.
Oh.
So there was a little machine.
What machine that bought you drinks
no,
and things?
No, you could order snacks and drinks. No, like a little machine on the wall and you pick like what drinks and what food you wanted. from a picture. And then the bar staff came down with it and handed it to
like
you.
Like an ordering system.
Yeah.
Because
the bar was like 3-4 floors up at the top. So
all you had to do is press the buttons and they bought the food and drink.
Yeah, literally, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
We pay for it as well.
Did it have an all-inclusive option where you
No, it's just bed and breakfast.
Oh, was it? Nice. Yeah. It is. What is the date? It is the...
Hang on, how are you? Hang on.
It's Tuesday the 22nd of July. I just thought we'd better get that in there because, you know, if people are listening to this.
Oh, right, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm good. Well, I've had a holiday too.
You've had a holiday too?
Yeah, so I went to Lanzarote, which was fantastic.
Nice.
Just me and office lady, no children.
Mm. That's exciting.
Lush.
That's your first holiday together.
First ever holiday without the kids, and it was lush. There was a nudist part to this.
Ooh.
Hotel. I couldn't think of the. I nearly said hostel. There,
to the hotel. That's where we were last weekend.
Yeah, and I was like, this is weird, isn't it? People come on holiday to get naked.
Mm.
That's don't you think that's weird?
Do you think only thing they pack for their holiday are the clothes they travel in?
Well, or clothes they're going to eat in? Because
they can't sit in the
naked.
Restaurant.
Well, if you go to a full on nudist place, surely you can go.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
It was
full
just
on.
An area.
It was only the top. It was basically the roof of the hotel was the nudist bit. So
naked.
Did you go up there?
No, did I? No, I did. Did you see the photo I posted on it?
There's a sign. Yeah.
Yeah, but did you see the cactus? It looked like a.
Oh.
It looked like a phallic shaped thing right next
done
to
on
the
purpose.
Bit. That said, yeah, and it made me think because they on the nudist bit because I read up about it. Not that I was going to go, but I read up about it and they had a vending machine up there.
Oh, okay.
And that's why I thought about it, because you had a vending machine.
No, my pool wasn't a nudist pool. It was just an everyday pool.
And you just had a vending machine.
And just a machine to order food. But I'd never seen that before, though.
She's not having it.
It wasn't a vending machine.
It was not a vending machine. So write to us at thebraveanddeterminedcompany@gmail.com. Let us know if you had a vending machine when you were on holiday.
You could have anything you wanted, as long as it was a Twix or a can of
Fanta. I feel like all hotels should have a vending machine, though, because we went to New York a couple of years ago. This is off topic, but we stayed in Chinatown thinking that like you go to New York, you think there's like a 7-Eleven on every corner nearly, you know. We were in Chinatown. There was not one within about, I don't know, 20-minute walk. So we were like, why hasn't the hotel got a vending machine?
Maybe they're not called 7-Elevens in Chinatown.
No, there weren't even any like little co-op-y, anywhere you could just go and buy some crisps or sweets or anything.
The only hotels I've stayed in that have got vending machines are travel lodges.
Yeah,
when I go on holiday, I don't want to stay in them. I only stay in them because I have to.
And the reason they've got vending machines is because they haven't got anything else.
Yeah, because you're next to a motorway.
Yeah, but you know, like, when you get in from like out, you're like, oh, I could just do the packet of Lay's. Or like a Fanta or something.
Yeah. I saw it on Instagram. It said, like, send this to your partner if you're only 3 sleeps away from a bottle of lemon Fanta and a packet of Lay's and then this kid dancing.
That's what you want, isn't it, when you get back?
It's true, though, isn't it? Yeah. I never drink lemon Fanta unless I'm
unless
in Europe.
You're on holiday.
Yeah, yeah, unless you're in Europe, yeah.
But Lay's are walkers, Chris, right?
No, they're better.
Well,
no, but they are walkers.
I don't know if I'd say they're better, though.
Oh, I think that it's just because you're on holiday.
But you don't get the same ones over here.
No.
Or maybe it is where you are, though.
Yeah. It's, I think it's just the, like, I love going abroad because, like, of all the different things. Like, we bought the kids, do you know the burger sweets? So it's a sweet, like, we bought those back for the kids because that's their memories of of being away. And, it was a really good holiday. Of course, back to reality and loads of stuff going on. But it was such a wonderful break. And I had such a lovely weekend at the Fringe. So Shaftesbury Fringe, amazing. So the people who volunteer and do all that good work, amazing that they put that on. Like the Trinity stage had a big band there.
And that was all volunteers who did the bar and everything.
Yeah, and the Brave and Determined getting some money out of that from the round table, which I didn't know until the guy who was volunteering there came over and said, are you guys just wearing the stuff or are you someone to do bag though? And then he said, oh yeah, you're getting a third?
Yeah, it was a third, I think, wasn't it? Yeah, it was
lovely guy. I forgot his name, which isn't very good.
I think it's Matt.
Oh, okay. Well, if it is Matt, thank you, Matt.
Mm. If it's not, thank you.
Yes.
Don't know your name. But yeah, what a nice bloke. Hopefully he's listening. Yeah. So yeah, I think so. We're all good. Yeah. We're all good. I want the heat wave to come back. I want it to be 30 degrees
again. Sunshine back.
Yeah. I mean, I am that age now where I go, oh yeah, garden needs that.
Oh, a bit of rain.
Yeah.
The grass needs it.
Garden
needs we've had a bit now. So
yeah. And like the grass almost turned instantly into green from yellow.
Loves it.
Yeah. Amazing, isn't it?
It loves it.
So here we are. It is Tuesday.
My grass stayed green.
Huh?
My grass stayed green.
Did it?
Yeah. No, mine was yellow. Is yours fake?
Yeah, he's got fake grass.
Artificial.
Oh, sorry. Artificial.
Is it?
I don't mow that lawn, to refer to a pre-pod conversation.
Yeah. Do you mow your lawn or do you cut your grass?
I hoover it.
What was it you said, Lise?
I said I've got to mow. Did I say I've got to mow my grass? I can't remember what I said now. Mow my grass. And then I was like, oh no, I've got to mow the lawn or cut my grass.
You were having a bit of a crisis about what to say.
I wasn't sure whether you understood what I meant.
But if someone said, I need to cut my lawn, I think everyone would know what you meant.
Yeah, but you don't mow your grass.
Again, write to us at thebraveanddeterminedcompany at gmail.com. Let us know if you cut your grass or mow your lawn.
Yeah, you're a cutter or cutter or mower.
Yeah, yeah. And let us know if you mow your grass or cut your lawn.
Yeah, cut your lawn, yeah.
Mm, there you go. Amazing, isn't it? So
all
this
the serious topics.
Yeah, all the serious topics. We've actually got a very serious topic
today.
We have
this week.
So we are just going to talk about that briefly. We are the Brave and Determined. This is the Really Bad Mental Health podcast, and we talk about all sorts of things mental health. Today, our topic is suicide. So it is going to be a fairly in-depth conversation and could be quite difficult and challenging for people who are listening. So we just want to give a shout out to say, if you don't want to listen to that part, we're going to let you know when it starts and it'll be about 10 minutes long. So if you don't want to listen, then absolutely just switch us off for 10 minutes. So it's just a bit of a warning that we are going to be talking about that today. That's our subject and we'll come into the reasons why. So what did we talk about on the last episode? Because I have absolutely no idea.
The last episode, we talked about the continuing journey of mental health.
Oh, yeah.
How it's not linear and how it's always ongoing forever.
You don't complete it.
You don't complete it.
That's a very good segue into the how are you bit. And I said I had a wonderful weekend. I really did. And I've had a really, really good spell of feeling really good. Woke up on Monday morning and oh my God, I had like a feeling of like doom over me. And because of all the tools we have in our pockets and all the things that we know what to do with our mental health, I had to really review what was going on and try and work out why I felt so not down. I just felt like there was doom on the horizon.
Ooh, a bit of dread, that sort of dread.
Yeah, dread, absolutely, that's the word. And I was talking to Harv about it earlier when we were eating our dinner, and I managed to go back over the tools that I would use, which is, you know, meditation, the breathing, all of that sort of stuff, and try and work out what it was. And actually, I worked out what the problem was, made a decision about that, and by Monday night, felt a hell of a lot better. So there you go. The journey never ends. Especially when I've had, like I say, such a lovely weekend. And
that's a great example. You have a lovely weekend, and yet Monday morning trip you up.
Yeah, and it did. It did trip me up because I didn't expect it. But at the same time...
He's removing his socks now.
Yeah, I am. I don't know why. Whenever we do the podcast, I take my shoes off. I have to now I can't have my socks off. So I'm just taking my socks off.
Live.
Does anyone else record podcasts with no socks on? Write to us at thebraveanddeterminedcompany@gmail.com.
Lots of questions this week already. We haven't even started.
So so the ongoing journey. Got anything on that, Harv?
Only that I would just sort of reiterate the fact that it is an ongoing journey. Mine, as you guys know, and I talk about in the pod, a lot of it centers around my sleep and what happens in the middle of the night with my panic attacks, get on top of it, goes well for a while, something happens, that goes back a bit, then I have to get back on top of it. Going through a good stint at the moment, must admit. Good what do you call it? Sleep hygiene.
Sleep hygiene, yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm going for a good sleep hygiene thing at the moment.
Nice.
I've never heard it called hygiene. Have you said that on air before?
Hygiene routine. Yeah, like how you go to bed and you do every night.
I've got a good book. Oh, I'm journaling. Have I told you that before?
Ooh.
I think you mentioned it the other day, didn't you? Yeah. Didn't someone tell you to do it? Didn't Charlie tell you to do it?
Yeah, yeah. Someone told me to do it. And I thought,
when he says someone, he means his counsellor.
My therapist, yeah. And I was like, I was a little bit. I've been told to do, or heard it suggested before. And
it's
thought,
a very positive thing to do.
Yeah, and I thought, I'm going to do it because actually I was doing it to work out why I was, seeing if I could help identify the reasons that I was having the panic attacks in the night or bad night's sleep. So it started out me basically almost just recording what I did in the day.
Okay.
But then I switched to writing it like a diary. And I love writing it.
I love writing a diary. It's like I'm writing
it to someone. I don't know who.
I try
and make it funny.
Maybe it's a book.
I make myself laugh. But my wife says I'm like a teenage girl when I'm led across the bed with my writing in my diary.
Dear diary.
Dear diary.
About the boy you love.
Yeah. But I really enjoy that. So I do the diary, get into bed, read the book. And at the moment, I'm doing that falling asleep reading thing.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Which is the zone.
Yeah.
I call that being in the zone.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's...
It's funny, isn't it? Because some people say the zone is like when they're hyper focused.
My zone's that.
Oh, my microphone's just cut out.
Oh, I can hear you.
I can hear you.
Hello?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm back.
No, it's my headphones. Sorry about that. You can see we're very technical when it comes to
professional.
Yeah, and we're not editing this, so you're going to get the full blown.
You lucky people.
Yeah, you're not going. Oh, my microphone doesn't work, and then everyone going, yeah, it does. Yeah, that's cool. I'm really pleased. I'm really pleased that that's working. Much. And again, another tool for your toolbox, isn't it, journaling?
Yeah, I seriously recommend. And I was very, very apprehensive about doing it. I thought it was a little bit, you know, flowery.
Yeah, but I felt the same about meditation.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a bit flowery and didn't want to do it. And now I love it.
Yeah. And the beauty of it is my handwriting is so bad, no one's going to read it anyway.
Burn after reading.
You could have been a doctor.
I could have handwriting like that.
And Lise, you got anything on that?
No, I think like I noticed how much having a break from everything did me good.
Mm.
I did not much exercise. I did a few laps in the pool every day and we walked quite a fair bit, but not.
Yeah, but that is exercise, but it's like.
But it's not intense exercise. Yeah, it's not absolutely the level I'm at. So I think doing like 5 days of nothing was wonderful. Not thinking about work, not thinking about anyone really, just being in the moment.
Yeah.
And yeah, just that really helped. I think I came back feeling rejuvenated.
And tanned. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I would say a break from, if you need a break from your phone or a break from people, or, you know, that's always a good thing. Sometimes you can take that break and not feel bad about it.
And she completed the vending machine and won.
Yeah.
So she's well happy about that.
Yeah.
So there you go. Right. Let's go through a few updates.
Charity updates. So we had Leonora Stewart, who completed her Rock Choir Challenge. God, I can't speak.
Her what?
Her rock choir challenge.
A rock choir challenge.
Sorry. Rock choir challenge.
And what did that entail, Liz?
She walked from Shaftesbury to Yeovil via Sherborne and did a rock choir at each town.
That's like 26
miles. 26 odd miles, yeah. And there's a lovely little video. If you go to the Rock Choir Instagram account, there's a lovely video of her walking into Yeovil and everyone's there like cheering her in and with a little glass of Prosecco and stuff. And when you watch it, you're like, that's really sweet.
Oh, that's cool.
So yeah, so she did that, which was wonderful.
Excellent.
And we're very grateful.
Yeah, we are. Next one. He's not looking.
I'm looking at the list.
Oh, okay.
I'm reading.
Yeah. So we do
look at you and read at the same time.
We haven't got video today either, have we? We haven't got video in this podcast. And the video on the last one just didn't work. So you didn't get video on the last one. But what we do is we do like hand signals because obviously the guys, we need to know what's going on. So I'm there pointing at Harv and he's looking down reading the agenda. Yes, and I'm going, it's you, Harv.
It's me. The Fringe Festival is the next thing on our list. We just touched on that a moment ago, and we are beneficiaries. And I'm just quickly reading it because I haven't read this ahead of time.
Again.
Oh, my God.
We had a number of performers donating the proceeds of their shows to the charity. The big stage all weekend.
Yeah, that was to the bar, the round table.
Yeah, so you could make donations as well, couldn't you, too?
It was called the Trinity.
Trinity Gardens, yeah.
Yeah, it was the Trinity. So have you heard, let's talk about it, because a lot of people in Shaftesbury, you know, listen to this. Did you hear people kicked off about being in Trinity?
Yeah.
Because that used to be a graveyard.
And it has some snowdrops in as well.
But what's the word when you, like, dig everything up?
It's re-summit or other.
Yeah, and they had done that, but there's still people kicking off and moaning about the noise. Oh, my God. Someone put on Alfred's post, just life is for living. And I was like, it really is. Like, people... okay, you don't sleep very well for one weekend, but that's one weekend.
Get out there and enjoy it.
And look at
all the part of it.
Look
yeah.
at, and like, look at all the kids who yeah. are having a great time. Look at all the parents who needed to be outside.
We saw this lady, she must have been, I don't know, in her 80s maybe. She was in a little camping chair, sat there.
Oh, yeah.
And she was singing along. Yeah. Like, we could not stop watching her. She was having the time of her life.
Yes. And on Saturday, so look sweet. At all the local businesses that are full of people.
Oh, I mean, it's such an amazing thing. Yeah. It's the same as a carnival and all those things that happen. Like, it should just be positive.
Yeah.
The only negatives, and I do think this was a bit naughty, is Dorset Council sent out the parking traffic wardens and people getting tickets all over the place. Yeah. So even the bands who they've paid to be in those places and they're hoping to get donations, their cars were getting like busted. Now, rules are rules, and I get that. You shouldn't park there. But come on, Dorset Council. Did you need
they
to
knew
send
it was
them
on, didn't
just
they?
Just turn
well.
A blind eye, man. Yeah. Turn a blind eye. Anyway, sorry, Harv, totally interrupted
that. That was it. So the Rocket Choir raised some money for us there, and Matt Roseblade, the comedian, was raising for us as well. So huge thank you to everybody. Really.
Amazing. Yeah, absolutely fantastic. So a while ago, we did the Rushmore Golf Day.
Yeah, the captain.
Yeah. And I heard it's around $3,000.
That's amazing.
Nice.
But
that's
I think
incredible.
It might be more. It might be more. So that, but that is fantastic. 3,000 quid. Like,
that's a lot of money.
Even if it's 1,000 quid, it's amazing, isn't it? So it's just fantastic. So thanks to everyone at Rushmore. It was a great day, wasn't it? We had a fantastic lunch. So thanks to the captain.
You had double lunch.
We had a lot
you?
Of food that day.
Well, I had a burger for breakfast, didn't I? It was a bit frowned upon that I was doing that. But do you know what? Life's for living.
Yeah.
Next one.
And then you've got Taron, who I think I'm allowed, he's put on his sort of blurb about why he's doing it. He's received counselling from the Brave and Determined and he wants to give back. So him and his friend Laurie are walking 103 miles along the South Coast path.
And we are hoping to join them on the last day. We've got to work out the plan on that, Harv.
Yeah, we do, because it's October, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's 33 miles a day, roughly. Mm. And we're going to try and join them on the last day and walk the last day with them, which would be good. Be good fun.
Yeah, so we've also got another event at the end of October.
Have you?
The Stickler.
Are you running that, are you?
Yeah, well, intentions to run it.
That's 10 miles and it goes along Chesil Beach, doesn't it?
No, the Stickler's the Dorset Three Peaks, Hod Hill, Hambledon Hill, and the Stickle Path. So it's basically uphill for a long, long time.
Well, you are pretty much a mountaineer these days. We'll come to that in a minute.
Yeah, conquered a few.
Yeah, done a couple, know what I'm saying? So yeah, 103 miles on the West Coast, Southwest Coastal Path. This one.
Well, I mean, is funny how this just ties in, really.
Yeah, but this one, I mean, this blows my bloody mind. Like, are people insane? Like, I get it. Like, people support us and we're so grateful, but don't kill yourself doing it. Go on, Harv. Tell us what they're doing.
Well, Sam Butler and Rob Marsh, who you may recall from a really, really early episode that did the Three Peaks for us a couple of years ago.
Raised well over $1,000, I reckon.
They did, yeah. Raised lots and lots of money. They're doing the Nine Peaks.
What's that? The Nine Peaks?
Nine Peaks? Well, are there Nine Peaks?
Why don't you tell us, Lise?
They are doing the Three Peaks three times over, back to back, aren't they? So they're going to do Ben Nevis, Scafell, Snowdon, Snowdon, Scafell, Ben Nevis, Scafell, Snowdon.
Wow.
Back to back.
In one sitting.
In one, yeah. So that's it's going to take them around 4 or 5 days, they think.
And you think the commute between them?
Yeah.
Driving from Snowdon to Ben Nevis alone is, that's got to be 8 hours.
Yeah. So they are going to need a huge team. So if anyone out there wants to help or offer their services and driving or just being part of the team,
they're on Facebook, aren't they, shouting about it. Yeah, look them up. Sam Butler? Oi, Butler. Sam Butler and Rob Marsh.
So they, oh man, what was I going to say? I was going to say something about them. Oh yeah, we're going to try and get them on it. I think we need to talk about it.
Because they sadly lost a friend, didn't they, to suicide, which I think is another reason why they want to, to do it, which is great, again, raising awareness.
It's really great.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like, but guys, you know, survive. Whatever you do, survive.
But they want to set a world record as well because no one's done it.
Yeah, it will be a Guinness record, yeah.
But they've got to do the first three peaks in under 20 hours to make it count. I don't really know why.
I think it must be something to do with the record of the three peaks, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, but the three peaks record would be way shorter than 12 hours.
But yeah, I think, well, I suppose maybe because the three peaks have to be done under 24. Hours. Don't they? Count as a three peak challenge.
We'll ask them. We'll get them on it. Hopefully the next episode we'll get them on it and they can tell us all about it. Okay, next one.
The Brave and Determined charity logo is going to adorn the strip of Salisbury, I want to say under 12s.
I want to say under 15s.
Salisbury girls team. One of the Salisbury girls teams.
Yeah.
Are going to have the Brave and Determined Lion on their shirts as their sponsor for the upcoming season, which is really, really cool. So that'll be the second football team, along with Millbourne Port under 12s, that'll have our logo on them. And a couple of footballers at Shaftesbury Ladies are sponsored by the Brave and Determined. But when we say sponsored by the Brave and Determined, it means other people have funded them to have Brave and Determined logos on their kit, which is fabulous. Amazing.
So basically, people give money for us to donate to these clubs to have our logo on their shirts.
That's cool, isn't it?
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So a big shout out, I won't mention who it was, but a big shout out to the people who gave us the money for the Salisbury girls team. Big shout out to the girls at Shaftesbury, because I'm hoping that Nikki Castle has us again as their sponsor, because she was great. And obviously the top goal scorer in the whole like women's DPL.
In the world.
In the world, yeah.
She's the top. And then we got Poppy Faye Fitness.
Yeah.
Tap her up on Instagram. She's been sponsored by us this year as well. And the Millbourne Port footy team. So it's cool. And they were like, weren't they league winners, the Millbourne Port guys?
Cup winners.
There you go. So there you go. Oh, the next one is Poppy, so we've already talked about that.
Yeah.
Okay, and then Lise, what's the next one?
We just want to thank Nicola for her hard work with the Bad Fit classes. She's having a little break for August, because she's been doing it over a year, every Saturday morning, 8 o'clock.
Volunteer.
Every Saturday. For free. And she's built a wonderful community down there. Yeah. And so she's just having a little break, but we just want to say a big thank you.
Yeah, massive thank you to her. She's a bit of a break for a month, and see how it goes. You know, I think it's amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. So well done to her.
Thanks, Nicola.
Oh, Lise, what's this next one? We'll let Harv introduce this bit.
Can you get the applause button ready?
Hang on.
If you talk amongst yourselves, hang on.
Okay.
So it's a very exciting news as far as the charity is concerned.
Oh, okay. That what's that?
Lise is now a trustee. Seamless.
There you go.
You like that?
How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I'm very excited.
So Lise, excited for the people who don't know, Lise was a volunteer and there was an opportunity to put her on the trustee board. And I think, Lise, let's be honest, you always wanted to be on that, didn't you?
Yeah, initially I said I'd be a trustee and you were like, well, you already do a lot for us. You do social media, you help out anyway. So maybe initially that's too much. So yeah, I didn't do it. But now I am.
Yes, Lise is now a trustee, which is fantastic news.
Thanks.
And we're very blessed to have you on the team.
Oh,
so thanks, Lise.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And then the grant from NFU?
Yes.
National Farmers Union?
Yep. So we were contacted by the North Dorset office where, funnily enough, speaking of trustees, one of our founding trustees who stepped down a couple of months ago, Will Jones, now works for NFU. They have a very big pot of cash across all the NFU, across the organisation as a whole, that gets split out to local offices. And he's put us forward to have a very decent sized grant or gift, I suppose, to go towards our Bad Fit Hub and one other project that we're looking at doing, which we might talk about further on in the what's this called? Podcast.
Yeah, and if Harvard listened to the voice notes between me and Lise today, he would know that.
Oh, well, I didn't listen to those voice notes.
Or if he'd read the agenda as well.
Well, but to be fair, you did say, I haven't listened to any of those voice notes.
No, I did
So we knew that. Which is amazing. So 7,000 quid. So half of it we're going to put towards the Bad Fit Hub, which we're still hoping to open. If anyone's got a premises out there, let us know.
Yeah.
And the other is going to go towards a project that we're going to talk about later. Before we go any further, you can donate to the podcast. Is all you need to do is go to our website, which is
badco.uk.
And then go to our podcast page, scroll all the way down to the bottom, and it says donate to the podcast, and you can do that. If you do that and then send us your address, we'll send you a sticker.
Oh, I've seen those lovely stickers.
So you get a free sticker. How cool would that be? And then we just need to talk about our weekend, not last weekend, the weekend before, Harv.
Oh, yeah. What did you guys do?
Well, and it was a sad time because Lise weren't with us.
I weren't with you. So I weren't with you.
I weren't with you.
I wasn't able to join you this
weekend. So you were in Greece.
Crete. Yes.
I would argue that where we went was hotter.
Yeah, and it's probably one of the only times that Scotland has ever been hotter than Greece.
Yeah, so we did the two peaks. We did Snowdon and then we did Scafell, and that was the three of us, which was great. Yeah. We decided we were going to do Ben Nevis, and then we looked at doing it in January
originally.
And I was out of that. I was like, not doing that in January.
So glad we didn't.
Yeah. Well, it would have been cooler.
Yeah, that's true.
And then we said about March, it didn't happen, didn't happen. We picked a date in July. Lise couldn't make it. So me, you and Shifty, the one who videos the podcast, who's not here tonight, we went, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
So what happened?
What happened was...
We've got to do this quick because we're 25 minutes in.
Well, it's not a very quick story, but I'll do my best to quickly.
If you go double time.
Talk it twice.
Okay. So we left Shaftesbury at 11 o'clock on the Friday evening.
Yep.
We arrived at Ben Nevis 10 o'clock on the Saturday morning.
Yes.
We climbed Ben Nevis.
And what temperature was it?
28 degrees at the bottom, 20-ish at the top. It was so, so hot.
For people who've never been to Ben Nevis, when you stop at and you go, right, we're going to walk Ben Nevis and you park in a car park, you can't actually see Ben Nevis.
No.
It's the other side of a mountain, which you have to walk up first.
Oof.
To get to the bottom. And we sort of went around that, didn't we?
We did.
And it was a south-facing climb, I suppose. And the sun was relentless.
No
and we'd
breeze.
Only been on it 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Shifty's heart rate was 190 in the first half an hour. And mine was peaking. I was going, boys, we've got to slow down.
Yeah, it was so hot.
It was, wasn't it?
But because it was so hot, it was clear skies and it was beautiful. And you could see for absolute miles. And you've got lakes up on the mountain, which blew my tiny mind. And you could just see across the Highlands of Scotland. It was stunning. And I was actually looking at the photos again the other day we took.
Yeah.
And they are, it is amazing how far you can see. It's just beautiful.
It was beautiful. It just went on and on and on and on and didn't stop. 1,400 metres up. It took us 3 hours, 10 minutes, I think, to get to the top.
Yeah, we have 5 hours, 10 minutes moving time up and back.
Yeah.
And we drank 7 litres of water between us.
So we stopped, basically, we stopped for about an hour, didn't we? So it took us 6 hours, 10 in total, I think. So 3 hours, 10 to get up and then 3 hours to come back down.
Yeah, it was so hot.
Because I was thinking about that moving, but we'll come back to that in a minute, but the moving time thing.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we can use moving time. Because it's time, isn't it?
Well, it is time, yeah. But that's, I didn't know.
Because
it's another conversation that actually Lisa and I have had.
Yeah.
Separately to this about how things record your times.
Because Strava records moving, doesn't it?
Exactly that.
So whereas my Garmin records time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So but our Stravas are always different. So the three of us who go out for a run, all three of our Stravas
record
are
Strava,
different.
All come back at different paces, different distances.
Even though we're alongside each other.
Yeah, but what? Within a little tiny bit?
I mean, some of them are like minutes out, aren't they?
Yeah, like over a minute per kilometre.
So
yours was with Ruby, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was super fast one day.
I run with OL and she wears an Apple Watch and I've obviously got a Garmin. So I always say, well, my watch is more accurate.
Yeah, my Apple Watch is dreadful.
But I always hit 5K before she does. We always have to do another couple hundred metres to hit 5K for her.
So they're not accurate.
But we were like... Shift was celebrating 5 hours. He was going, oh, we did it in 5 hours. And I'm like, but we didn't. We did it in six. And he was like, no, we did it in five because it's moving time.
Yeah.
But then I was like, well, okay, then.
You could stop for four hours.
Yeah, you could stop for a day.
Because then I was what I'm going to do is I'm going to run a marathon in mile bouts over a 24-hour period and then tell people I did a three-hour marathon.
So each mile is 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I then was, when we did the 75K one, I always say it took us 24 hours because it took us that long.
Absolutely.
Even though we stopped for an hour at a time an hour, it still took us that long to do.
Yeah, but I didn't know this Strava moving time thing because when I run...
It was a revelation at the end of the day when we were talking about it.
Yeah, because when I run normally, if I'm running somewhere and I've got to cross the road or something, I have to wait for a light, I pause the Strava.
But Strava knows that.
I don't need to pause it. Why does it give me the option anyway? I digress. You said keep this quick.
We
came back down, we were gasping for water.
Hang on, before that, so we got halfway down and we could hear a plane.
Oh yeah, this excited you a lot.
Honestly, so I was like, we're not even halfway, probably a quarter of the way down.
Yeah,
so we're three quarters up the mountain and I could hear this plane buzzing around, so I'm looking up going, where the hell's that plane? This is me simulating looking.
You're looking up at the sky.
And then I realised it was below us.
Yeah.
And it was like a Spitfire type thing, wasn't it?
I thought it was a model plane to begin with, but then I was a bit out of sorts.
It was fantastic. We were
it's a mirage.
Yeah. We were higher than the plane, which was cool.
That's mad.
Yeah. We need to talk about the water thing as well. So at the bottom of the hill, at the bottom of the mountain.
At
the bottom of the mountain, I had like 2 litres. You had about 2 litres, didn't we? And Shifty had one 750ml bottle. And he goes, well, that'll be all right, won't it?
Oh.
And I was like, mate, it's going to be warm. So we chucked, it was about a litre and three quarters into his bag, didn't we?
Wasn't enough.
No. And I put electrolytes in all of my bowls. You just ran water, didn't you?
Yeah.
And I reckon halfway down, we had, I don't know, 2 centimeters in the bottom of my bowl that we shared between us, didn't we? And that was it. We were out.
There were people drinking from streams.
Yeah,
it was that hot.
Yeah,
and they were that underprepared.
There was people being sick.
Yeah,
there was people with massive sunburn. Jeez. There was people with heat stroke. They had no hat on and wearing a vest.
Yeah,
like
people aren't prepared, are they?
So we get to the bottom after 6 hours.
Yeah, go to the pub.
Yeah, so at the bottom is the Ben Nevis Inn.
Nice.
Yeah. And we had no water, but we did have some money, so we went straight to the pub. And I've never drunk a pint of Coke so quick.
Pint of Coke, pint of water. And what was amazing, you looked around the pub and everybody had 2 glasses in front of them, and a drink and a pint of water. They must get so fed up of people going, can I have a lager and a pint of water, please?
Yeah.
So we absolutely smashed that, and then we smashed some more drinks. Then you and Shifty jumped in a lake.
Well, before that, you had the worst cramp in your life.
Oh my God, that's so bad. That's why I need to do the electrolytes thing.
Well, and I thought, I've never really seen Harv angry, but I did see an angry face in the back of the car when Shifty said to him, "You're supposed to be the fit one."
Yeah.
I'm not getting involved. Yeah.
If I didn't have cramp.
And then we got some, we downed a Lucozade Sport, didn't we?
Yeah.
And then went and found a lake and jumped in that just to try and cool off because it was so sweaty.
And then we went and found a burger.
Well, no, then we went to the hostel.
Oh, yes. I'd forgotten that bit.
Which was a full hostel, wasn't it? It was a full hostel. All had a shower. God, I felt so much better after a shower.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
And then we went into town and found a burger in a proper Scottish pub.
Yeah.
It was decent,
the aircon, there was no aircon. And they actually stopped people using part of the restaurant because it was so hot.
Yeah. It's unbelievable, wasn't it?
I was just sweating into my chips.
Then we got... Yeah, you were. It was beating off your head, you poor bastard. Honestly, you must have never sweated so much in all your life.
That's saying something, right?
Yeah, honestly.
I don't know where it comes from.
Poor bloke, yeah. You must have been dehydrated. No wonder you got cramped.
Yeah.
And then we went back to the hostel at 8 p.m, got into bed, slept till 10 p.m, and then what did we do, Harv?
Like sensible people, we drove home all the way back to Dorset.
And got home at...
just before 9 o'clock in the morning.
So we went basically, had no sleep for 2 nights, apart from cars.
I mean, we did say, we were safe-ish. You know, we were doing it on a rotor, so 2 hours. If someone was driving for 2 hours, that meant that you should get 4 hours sleep. But you don't sleep, do you, properly in a car?
No.
With Shifty driving?
No.
So we didn't really sleep, but we did have it on rotation so that we could, you know, get back.
I took earplugs and an eye mask.
Oh, that's
nice.
So I slept. And a pillow.
That's good.
I didn't take any of that.
Oh, I love my mind. I have to sleep with earplugs even when I sleep on my own.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I sleep with earplugs every night.
But every night. So there's no one else in my house and there's no noise really. Yeah. I mean, there is some noise, but yeah, I still sleep with earplugs even when I sleep on my own.
I do the same.
I can't do that because I've got to be ready for burglars and stuff.
I still like to think I'd wake up.
Yeah, but it's weird, isn't it? Because I am the same. I have to sleep with earplugs and I don't get why.
If I don't take them with me away, I get really panicked and I can't sleep.
In hotels especially, because it's too noisy.
Oh, door slamming.
Yeah, well, in that hostel, I slept.
Oh man, the walls were paper, weren't they?
I slept for 2 hours solid and these boys were like, there was like kids in there slamming doors and all sorts, weren't there?
Mm. And the guy that was snoring because he couldn't hear himself.
That was me. Right, so let's move on. We're going to talk about the subject now. So we will be no more than 10 minutes, okay? So if you don't want to talk about, or don't want to hear us talking about this, switch off now. What we're going to talk about.
So we are going to talk about suicide rates in the workplace. And this came about while we were talking about the NFU grant at the trustee meeting. We talked about how the rates of suicide in the farming agriculture industry are one of the highest. And I had did a little research online, and there is some conflicting figures on which industry has the biggest, but construction industry, farming, media and entertainment, doctors and nurses are up there with some of the highest suicide rates.
Wow.
For jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's how we got onto it, wasn't it? The NFU grant made us talk about the project that we want to do, which is we want to do a project into the farming industry to raise awareness for mental health in the farming industry. As we all know, farmers spend a huge amount of time on their own, driving tractors with the cows early in the morning, missing out on really important stuff.
Yeah.
And so that's why we got onto it. Now, before we go in any further, this is the reason why we started the Brave and Determined, because the early intervention life-saving counselling thing. There's so many people, and if you're suffering from suicidal thoughts or you feel in a position of crisis, there's lots of people you can talk to. I'll just mention them quickly. Campaign Against Living Miserably, the Samaritans, they are two fantastic charities that you can pick the phone up to now. If you're at the beginning of the journey, that's where you can lean on us, the Brave and Determined. We're there for the early intervention, so you hopefully don't get to crisis.
No. So back to the suicide rates. The suicide rate in farming is 3 times higher than the national average, and 3 people a week lose their lives to suicide.
Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's horrible.
Which is high. And it's similar in construction. So construction is just below 3 times the national average.
Wow.
So yeah, so they are pretty high rates, aren't they?
And again, like the construction industry, that's, you know, generally lads in a masculine environment, not wanting to talk, not wanting to share journeys, etc. And this is what we need to change. And that's why we want to do this campaign.
Yeah. And there's some other like quite high statistics. So the Farming Community Network did a study. So this is in 2019. That was the most recent one I could find. So you've got to think, you know, we're 6 years on from that. So these figures are probably even higher now. Over 80% of farmers reported feeling stressed, and almost half of them, 47%, said their stress was linked to financial worries. In the same survey, 55% of farmers mentioned they were concerned about their mental health, but many felt unable to speak to anyone or ask for help due to the stigma that still surrounds it.
And that's what we've got to change.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can imagine, well, I've seen the stigma around it. I mean, I'm married into what traditionally was a farming family, and the approach to life is very different to civilian life, really. Mm. It's very much every problem gets faced head on, and you have to be able to deal with it. And you pretty much have to be able to deal with it without, and when I say you have to, it's inverted commas, without the help of anybody else. And you should be able to deal with whatever life throws at you. And in the farming world, life throws a lot at you.
Well, yeah. Even bad weather ruins a year's crop.
Yeah.
You know, the mad cow stuff that went on years ago, you know, financially crippling to farmers out there who are just trying to make ends meet, leaving the EU. That's made a massive difference to farming in the UK. So there's a huge pressure on farmers and the farming industry to just get on with it.
Supermarkets, that's one that needs to be spoken about, because the pressure that the supermarkets put on farmers to produce, and to produce it at a low price. So us, the consumers, can still pay hardly anything for a pint of milk.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. That's a hell of a burden of stress that goes on to those guys.
And yet we still moan about, the price of everything goes up.
The milk does not budge. It's cheap. It's always been cheap.
Yeah.
Tesco's actually had a campaign once where they were shouting about the price, the fact that they promised to pay the farmers at least the cost to produce the milk.
Oh, wow.
So they're basically promising to pay them the minimum. That was a shouting point. That was a marketing tool.
Wow.
Yeah.
So no wonder these girls and boys who are out there farming are under stress. It is not easy. And what we want to do with this campaign is try and break that stigma of you can't talk. So we've said that we want to sort of tackle the young farmers if we can, and get those guys talking about it. And I think it's going to be difficult, but that's what we want to do, isn't it?
Yeah. So we talked about a couple of different things as well, didn't we? What we could do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I like the idea of a tractor pull.
Yeah. And that's what we're going to try and do. Early next year, I think.
Yeah.
We're going to try and do a big event where we can get all the farming community along and make it fun, and hopefully get people talking about.
Yeah, and we live in a massive agricultural area, don't we? Like down here, it's huge.
Oh, it's massive. Yeah, it's the biggest industry around it.
Yeah, but there are some. Sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, but outside of the farming community, suicide is still a massive thing, isn't it? That needs to be talked about. Needs to be tackled.
Yeah.
I don't know if we've got a stat on it. I did look at the agenda earlier. I don't think we have. But how many people, and I'm not talking farmers or construction, how many people have suicidal thoughts every day in the UK? It must be huge. It must be like over half the UK's population.
I know for men, the statistics are it's 12 men a day.
Who die by suicide.
So that's one man every 2 hours.
Yeah.
Now, they're the ones that have carried out the act. So to think about how many have suicidal feelings, for every one man that sadly takes his own life, I don't know if there's 10, 20, 30, 100 men with the feeling. You know, it's just the numbers are going to be.
And then you put females in that.
You put females in that.
And then you put children, you know, under 18s in that.
Yeah.
It's huge. It's massive. And we're not talking about it.
And I always think with that statistic, it always sticks with me because it's. And I'm sorry that it's a male statistic, but it's just one that I learned about once. But you've got. That's. For want of a better word, successful suicides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 12 men a day take their own life.
How many people don't succeed?
How many get saved or don't succeed or permanently injure themselves?
Yeah.
It's just, it's heartbreaking numbers.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And it's a difficult conversation to have. You know, it's heartbreaking that anyone feels that they're that alone and have got no corner to turn. I think that the world is changing the way we address it. I don't ever use the word committed. I always say died by
or lost their life too. Which is huge, isn't it? Because years ago, you would have just said, oh, they commit suicide.
Yeah.
Well, because it was a crime. That's why the word committed is used.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was originally, yeah, wasn't it? So I think the world is changing. You know, the world is changing and it's not and it's not frowned upon to have suicidal thoughts.
No.
You know, there are these charities that are set up to help you.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think it's that reaching out point. Because it's how do you start that conversation, especially with someone who you love? You know what I mean? Like, to tell someone who you love or who loves you unconditionally is hard to say, I'm having these thoughts. I don't want to be here anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so sometimes talking to someone who's not involved in that situation, or you don't know, or, you know, a lot of these campaigns, they have like text numbers, don't they? Numbers you can text and someone will text you back.
Yeah.
Which again is an easier way to sometimes write it down than say to someone face to face, you know, this
we have the Brave and Determined have. Obviously, we have our Ranger clothing, but we have the T-shirt, don't we? The T-shirt and the hoodie, and on the back, it says...
The world's a better place with you in it.
You didn't know that was coming, so...
No, I didn't.
The world's a better place with you in it.
Yeah.
And the amount of times I wear that around and people stand behind me in a queue or something and then talk about it.
Yeah.
And that statement resonates, and it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true because you remove... By taking your own life, you remove any possibility of it getting better.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we got some advice out there, haven't we? What we can do.
So there's some awesome, should be fair as well, I work in the construction industry and I didn't know about some of these construction ones.
Okay.
Which I felt really bad about, because I feel like as an employer, we should be putting out there to our guys.
That, yeah, but then that's now something that hopefully you something can take we back can do. And you can start making them aware of that, put some posters up. And
so for the agricultural industry, there's the Farm Safety Foundation, who are also called Yellow Wellies.
That's cute.
They've got some great campaigns. Mind also have their own rural health branch, which I didn't know. The National Farmers Union, NFU, they do a lot of different mental health initiatives. And Farm Well all kind of give different campaigns, different support. They signpost you to where you can get help, resources, and a lot of them also run mental health first aid training, which I think is really important for people to spot the signs in someone they work with. Or
so where I work, it's construction, but it's now they have mental health first aiders you know, available to everyone. I really love that one, Mates in Mind. I think that's great.
So that's a construction industry one, a UK charity, and they work with employers to raise awareness, and they are one of these companies that offer a text thing 24/7. You can text "be a mate" to 85258, and someone who is trained will come back to you.
Yeah.
And Samaritans also have a construction industry campaign, and the construction industry helpline offer 24/7 help.
Cool. So that's our 10 minutes. So we're done. And of course, if you need anything, you can reach out to us, the Brave and Determined Company at gmail.com, or you can go to
www.badco.uk.
Excellent. Good work, guys.
And check us on the socials. We're there. We are there.
And just reach out, man. We get people reaching out, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
And say, look, I'm struggling, or things are tough. And, you know, we're there. We're there to... We're not mental health trained, but we can definitely signpost you to people who are and can talk. So that is awesome. And we're going to plan that, because we're not having a summer ball next year. So this event that we're going to have next year for the farmer community is going to be awesome. And I'm going to get a tractor. I don't know where yet. If anyone's got a tractor...
Some people are bound to have, like, Massey Ferguson's knocking about.
Oh, she's well into it.
Oh, my dad.
Another one.
My dad, John Deere. My dad used to work for Massey Ferguson.
Did he?
Yeah.
That's how you know about it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, that's cool. Excellent work. Right, question time. Lise.
Question time. I've got a question.
If you've got a question,
email your question.
Do you know what? I found it really hard to find a question today. I was looking at, like, thinking, but the one I've come up with.
Go on.
Oh, God.
If you two had a fight, who'd win?
Oh, me? I'd kill him.
How and why? Why do you think you'd win?
Because and I'm not a fighter.
No, but let's just say something's happened.
Don't stop. Yeah, but look, the way he looked at me then, is it like he wants to have a fight? But you've got to go into a fight thinking you'll win it. You cannot go into a fight thinking you ain't gonna win it.
Yeah. I don't fight.
No, but let's just say you did. Who would I reckon Harv's got a bit of like dirty tactics in him.
I'd bite you.
Yeah, but that's the thing.
Yeah, it's no whole buzz.
Yeah, but when there's a fight, there is no rules, is there?
Yeah.
There is no rules. Hair pulling, eye gouging, punching, kicking, biting, anything. Anything goes. If there's a chair or a bit of wood, I'm hitting you with that.
Oh, you're WWE style.
Yeah, yeah, anything. Yeah. If it's a proper full on fight.
Would you do that?
What?
Like get all in with a chair leg or?
I'd go for his back.
Oh, yeah. To be fair, actually, right, let's get a rewind here. Yeah, so Harvard probably win because within the first 30 seconds, I'm going,
he's just got to grab your shoulder, knee in your back.
Yeah, so let's go with that. Harvard Harves. Win.
What
yeah.
a okay. question, these.
Harvard I know, win. I thought it was quite funny.
That. No, yeah.
Did not expect that.
We need to ask Lise who should win in a fight. You or OL, who would win?
Ooh. I don't know. I reckon OL's probably got some dirty tactics.
Yeah, OL would win.
Yeah. I don't think I'm much of a fighter. I'd be like, no, don't have me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think OL would probably win.
There you go.
Yeah. Good use of your question, that.
Thanks. Yeah. I think you could have asked better, at least.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
But we did get to the bottom of it. Harvard win. Because okay,
I did have another one. Okay, I've got another one, which is a bit more in depth. It's a would you rather. Okay, would you rather know when someone is lying all the time? Or would you rather be able to get away with any lie you tell?
I'll get away with any lie you tell.
I think I'm quite good at telling when people are lying.
Yeah, but I think as well, you don't want to know when people
are
lying.
Yeah, would you want to know the truth all the time?
No, you don't.
Imagine if your kids lie to you just to be like, because they might lie
to protect me.
Exactly.
Well, yeah.
Because there was that film, wasn't there, Liar Liar with Jim Carrey.
Yeah. Oh, he had to tell the truth all the time.
When he wakes up next to that girl and she's like, how was it for you? And he's like, well, I've had better.
But like, you wouldn't have to tell the truth. You just know if people were lying to you.
Yeah, no, I don't think I'd
want that. So I could be like, all right, mate, I really like you.
I don't think.
Thinking.
Who says that?
Hello, mate, I really like you.
I'm going to go, liar.
No, I'm going.
You don't
inwardly,
need
I'm thinking, no, I don't.
You don't need a special power to know if someone says, hello, mate, I really like you.
There was the other thing. It was like the Mel Gibson one about women where he can read their thoughts.
Yeah.
You don't want to know that, do you?
No.
You don't really?
No, absolutely not.
But then would you abuse the like ability to lie all the time? Would you start
lying
about everything?
It depends what you're using it for.
Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't need to lie about it. Surely you don't need to lie about everything.
Well, you could though, couldn't you? Because you've got the ability to, so. And everyone would believe everything you say.
I think I know people like that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway.
Right, have we got rants?
I've got a rant.
Go on then, Lise, you go.
I've got a holiday-related rant.
Oh, it's about the vending machine.
No, it's about the vending machine. I like the vending machine. Airport security staff.
Oh, yeah.
Miserable.
And how miserable they are all the time. Every airport you go to has a different rule about what you have to do to get through security. Bristol this time didn't have to take my liquids out. They can stay in my bag.
They've
I can have as many as I want as long as they fit in it. Also, you walk...
Well, no. You can't have... As long as they're under 100 mil.
But you used to have to have 10, didn't you? You used to have to be under a litre.
I don't know.
Yeah. So you used to have to have under 10.
Well, and 10 different things.
Yeah, 10 was your maximum.
I didn't know that. I never got near it.
But now, this is what Ryan's always like. It's like, why do you need 10?
Yeah, what I always get
10 and then give him some. So that was new. And then when you go through security, you have to stand like this, don't you?
Yeah, but the picture shows you.
Yeah, but I didn't realise everyone
had... When we podcast.
Say this, it's an upside down... At least we stood like an upside down cactus.
Yeah, so you have to have your arms out. And I didn't realise they were scanning everyone. I thought, you know, like sometimes you go through airport security, you walk straight through. If they want to scan you, they take you to one side and they make you stand like that.
No, but you get scanned anyway, don't you?
Yeah.
You go through the ring.
Well, no, you just, like, when we came back, you just walked through a, like, sort of square thing.
Yeah, but that's scanning you.
Yeah, but it wasn't like, I didn't have to stand like this. So I walked straight through and this bloke went, excuse me, miss, do you think you're better than everyone else? No word of a lie. Do you think you're better than everyone else?
You?
I was like, sorry, what? And he went, you got to do that as well. You know better than anyone else. I was like, okay, sorry. So then I went back, panicked like this. It didn't scan me. He was like, get back in. I was like, okay. And then he was like, you need to scan your shoes.
Yeah,
so I was like, okay. So I went to take them off. Don't take them off. He's going to stand over there. And then there's this bloke who I didn't understand what he was saying because I was panicked and I didn't have my hearing aids in. And then I couldn't make the shoe scanner work. And I was just like, why can't they just be nicer and be like,
right?
I get they've got an important job. I do get
that. It's not even that. For me, because I had a similar conversation with OL as we were walking through. It was 4 o'clock in the morning going through Bristol Airport. And there's bunches of lads who are so excited that they're going on holiday. And I said, I don't know how those guys do it, as in the airport staff, because I would be even more miserable than them. Because these guys were like dipping under the barriers to get to the front.
They were
just being loud and leery. And it's 4 o'clock in the morning. Dude, chill. Relax. I would be grumpy. He's probably thought you're just being a bit of a dick.
Yeah.
Whereas you're not. You're like, no, it was genuinely I didn't know what I was doing. Yeah.
So yeah, so that wound me up. And then on an aeroplane, if you're in the aisle seat, which one's your armrest? Because you've got two.
Both.
No, yeah, absolutely both. Not. Because the person in the middle, me, who had to sit next to a stranger, only had one, and then I couldn't get my arm anywhere. And he was quite a...
Well, so you should have two, been in the middle.
No, but I feel like he should have had the right... No, the left. I should have had the left, and then Ryan would have had the left because he's got a window.
I'll tell you what you need to do. Fly business.
I don't think Jet 2 do business.
No, they don't. But
I'm glad you were able to relax when you got
there.
They
do play that song as you get on the aircraft, which I quite
like. What, the thing that...
Darling, hold my hand. That one, don't they?
Jesus.
I've never been Jet 2.
No, neither have
I. Oh, I quite like Jet 2.
You get extra baggage,
I think. We did have to sit for an hour. They made us bored and then told us that we weren't taking off.
Oh, yeah, we got that on EasyJet as well.
Why do that? Leave us in the airport.
Yeah, but they don't do it on purpose.
You're taking this all very personally.
They don't go, look at all these happy people. Yeah. Let's ruin their flight
Well,
home.
No, because our flight was at 8:10.
They saw your car pull up at the airport.
And as we boarded, sat down ready to go, everything, they were like, getting all the luggage up, checking everyone in, make your seat belts. And then he went, oh, we've just been... I don't even say we've just been told. He's like, we can't take off till the hour, so we'll be sat here till 9 o'clock now.
Yeah, but they've been getting... Yeah, they would have... They wouldn't.
Because if they missed their slot...
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but we were on the plane by 8 o'clock.
It's not just your plane going somewhere.
We hadn't missed us. We weren't late.
I think it's all fascinating. The way an airport runs.
Oh,
to
I mean, it's incredible, isn't it?
Absolutely fascinating. You blow my mind. So we had similar, right? We were delayed getting onto the plane because coming out of Spain, they want to stamp your passport.
Yeah.
So everyone on the plane doesn't know that. So they just hand over the passport closed. The guy, the one person, has to search through to find the stamp, to stamp next to it to say, you're now leaving, part of immigration. We were late getting on the plane. Everyone sits down. We're all ready to go. Captain comes over and goes, sorry, we're delayed. We're now delayed because you were delayed getting through immigration. And now we've missed our slot. And now there's a shutdown of air traffic control for the next hour. We're hoping that we'll get a window at some point, but make yourselves comfortable. Take your belts off. Relax.
We'll put the aircon on.
But the reason why is something in the world is going on and no one's flying for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So something is happening and they've gone, nobody's flying. Everyone stays on the ground until we've cleared whatever it is and then you can fly.
It's safer
so you have
that
to just
way.
Wait. Yeah. And at the same time, they might have an engine not working. And rather than saying, by the way, that engine don't work. So just sit there.
Just see what happens.
Exactly. Yeah, so it might be like, we're just running through a few
seconds. I had a 4-hour delay going out to Greece last year on a work trip because they didn't have a crew.
Yeah.
They had a plane, but no crew.
Yeah.
Strikes. And that makes it hard to fly.
Coming back from Canada, we had a delay because the plane that we were supposed to get on went unserviceable. So they bought in a Dreamliner.
Nice.
And they were like, we're just about to get that, but there's something we got to do. And the only person who's got the skills to do it is at home. So he's currently driving in to come and do this thing. So then you can fly home.
Wow.
And I'm just like, yeah, cool, man. I'd rather he did whatever he needs to do than didn't. So I'm cool with the delay.
We were delayed coming out of Prague off the back of a stag do, so not feeling too great. And we were on the runway and the pilot said, we've got a cracked windshield. We need to take a photo of it, email it to Luton, where the EasyJet like head office is or whatever, and get an engineer's report as to whether it's safe to fly with it, with the crack the way it is, and be analysed. So we had to wait for that to play out.
And that could have come back as, no, you can't fly.
Yeah, it could have been, yeah.
Okay, I'll stop being
armrest thing, that's an open book.
No.
No, I
feel like there should be a rule about it, though.
Well, no, it's whoever gets it first. So I sat down and I had a teenage girl next to me, so I'm like, they're mine.
Well, that's what I think this bloke was like.
The armrest. Like,
yeah, the armrest. What did you think I meant? What, the teenage girl?
When you just heard that clip in isolation. I had this teenage girl sitting next to me and I thought, they're mine.
No, I am literally talking about the armrest.
Yeah, and then he was just in the way all the time. I feel like there should be two seats on a plane, not three.
Well, it's the guy who owns, not EasyJet, what's the other one?
Ryanair.
O'Leary.
He said he wants to make everything
standing. I'm all for it.
Because he said it'd make it cheaper.
Yeah.
Well, don't even get me started on luggage.
Up to a 2-hour flight standing, I reckon.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd do it.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Nice rant, Lise, nice rant.
Yeah.
Get on to airtrafficcontrol.com and have a pop at them.
Yeah. My rant is not, I'm not even sure it qualifies as a rant.
It does, because you've told me what it is.
You know what it is. And I told you it's an interesting one.
It's not a rant as such.
No, it's an observation.
A frustrating observation.
It's Facebook birthday wishes.
Oh.
Now, as you know,
Lise is so,
as you know, last week, Lise, It was my birthday.
It was both your birthday.
It was also his birthday.
Yeah, it was. Halves older than me.
Thanks for the present.
Are you looking at me when you say that? Because I didn't get you one.
He got me one. He got me tickets to the cricket. Yeah. I didn't get him one, though, actually. So I'll just move on quickly.
Yeah, take that back.
Well, you did.
My present?
Anyway, yeah. I bought Harv 2 tickets to the cricket. Yeah. But as I sent it to him, I said, but you only get one of them. Because I could just imagine him going, oh great. Yeah. Me and Josh are going to love that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I'm like, no, I'm coming with you. Yeah.
So I'm very much looking forward to that. But no, it's, and I don't want to sound ungrateful, but people wish you get a lot of Facebook happy birthdays.
Yeah.
But the people that you get the happy birthday from are people you haven't seen for years, that would walk past me in the street.
Yeah.
That I don't even know them really anymore.
Do you know what the great trick is? Take your birthday off and see how many people say happy birthday then. Because I did that this year and not one of them did.
Yeah, but I'm not surprised. And I don't say happy birthday to people on Facebook.
No, I don't.
No.
I turn all the notifications are off.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't get
it. It's just because you get a thing, don't you? Just say it's so and so's birthday today.
They must make sure they do it. And it's like a little tick. Yes, I've said happy birthday to that guy who was in year 7.
Never spoke to. Do you know?
Yeah. But if I was on Facebook and I saw it was someone's birthday, I wouldn't send them on
you mess them separately if they were important.
I would WhatsApp them because then I'm like, I've got your number and
yeah,
I know
so
who you are.
To know, your friends.
But I don't just randomly say
I think
happy
it stems
birthday.
Back to like when Facebook first existed, didn't
it?
Like
people through
or they'd wait till like 12:01.
Poked
you. Oh, I used to love getting poked.
What I say?
There's another podcast there, a late night editionary.
It's just an odd one.
Yeah, just take it off and see how many people still do
it. The interesting thing is, I was really pleased that so many people said happy birthday to me. I was amazing.
Yeah, look at these people.
I was like, oh, that's so kind. All these people have said happy birthday. But to be fair, everyone who said happy birthday is someone I would say hello to in the street. I didn't get any randomers that I thought I hadn't spoke to you for 15 years.
Yeah,
but then I don't have, because I've only been on Facebook like a couple of years, I don't have like all my old school friends.
Yeah, no, I do have people that go back to when I was a kid. Like,
you need to do a cull.
Yeah, yeah.
I do, but then I don't go on it enough now.
No.
I literally go on it to share Badco stuff.
True, yeah.
I don't do anything. I don't put my own statuses up or anything.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing worse than looking at your memories. Do that for
terrible.
A laugh. And see what
terrible.
You used to write like 10 years ago, what your status
my
was.
My life is over.
So honestly, some of mine make
anyone
me cringe.
Got the number for 999?
They make me cringe really? Inwardly at what I used to write.
Yeah. No, me too. Me too when I read yours.
Right, we've only got a couple of minutes left. I've got a really quick rant. So it is Fringe related. So obviously the Fringe is a free gig. You can pay what you want. You know, you can put money in the hat and stuff. And I saw some really, really good stuff that warranted giving money. So I did give money. But under no circumstances did I pay for a seat anywhere. So we went into the King's, and I'm going to shame them, the King's Arms in Shaftesbury, and I bought a pint of non-alcoholic, and it was a full pint of non-alcoholic Guinness. Guess how much that cost me?
Oh, God, no.
Guess how much? A non-alcoholic. So that means there's no tax. Am I right?
No, there is a duty, I think.
Is there?
A duty, yeah.
£6.50.
But the product does not cost that as much to produce as an alcoholic one.
Absolutely. £6.50 or so. What
I was going to say if it's over a fiver is too much.
£6.80. £6.80. And it wasn't even cold.
And how much is a Guinness? Because maybe the government, if you're listening, need to look at this about drink drive campaigns, because you want to stop people from drinking and driving.
Yeah.
Make the non-alcoholic drinks more accessible,
well, yeah,
more
like
appealing.
Like,
I could have a pint of normal
it?
Guinness for that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to have a pint of normal Guinness.
Yeah.
Coke's the same.
Coke's
pint
still
of Coke.
Nearly like £5 or something, isn't
well,
it?
Well, and the other thing that annoys me about that, that was a pint of Guinness, but normally the cans are £4.40.
Yeah.
So you get a pint with a bit missing out the top.
Oh, yeah.
Which is rubbish. But I bought one in the Heritage Suite, and that was like £3.
Yeah.
And then £6.80. Are you having a laugh? Anyway, I sat down, I took a sip, and it wasn't even cold, which was massively frustrating.
Yeah, it needs to be cold. £6.80, man.
£6.80, not even cold. Anyway, so we're sitting down and I've got over the £6.80. It's Fringe weekend. I knew it was going to cost me a lot of money. Sit down and we're watching a band, arguably, in my opinion, the best band of the whole weekend.
Well, name them.
Ben Francis and his band.
Yeah.
They were friggin' brilliant. Honestly, we went to see him twice. They were so good. So the acoustic session on Friday, and then saw them with the non-acoustic, normal version. Is that what you call it?
Yeah.
Well, with like musicians?
Yeah. Well, they had musicians, but it was acoustic. So they didn't have a drum kit. Mate, any... was sat on one of them boxes. Yeah. And like, it was, honestly, they were so good. The best band that we saw. So everyone sat down. Everyone's watching. No one's paid for a seat. This big dude walks in, and he was a big guy. He comes in and he sort of like, you know, looks around and thinks, oh, I'll just stand here. Don't really want to stand in anyone's way. That'll be fine. And he's looking down, you know, watching the band. Geezer gets up from behind and taps on the old boy, taps on the shoulder. Excuse me, mate, you're in everyone's way. Can you get out of the way? And you see matey sort of like saying, well, hang on a minute, mate. You know, I'm all right to beer as much as anyone else. If you stand up, you'll be able to see. And the guy goes and sits back down. And bear in mind, we're song number one. Then by song number three, matey's up again and going, yeah, look, you're in the way. You're annoying everyone. Can you get out of the way? So now everyone's attention is not on the band, is on this geezer.
Oh.
And I'm just like, dude, you haven't paid for a seat.
Yeah.
You just got to get on with it.
Yeah.
People stand in front of you. Just do your bet. In the end, I stood on a chair, which you ain't going to like King's Arms, but don't charge me £6.80 for a pint of non-alcoholic Guinness. So, yeah, it was just a bit of a weird one that people think they've got a right to sit in a comfortable position where they want to sit and be able to see.
Yeah, like if you haven't paid for it.
The big guy was really narky and left. Aww. And I thought, well, you've ruined that for him, haven't you?
Yeah. So well, and also, he can't help being tall and big, can
he? Yeah, he's just a big guy and he was a nice bloke, do you know what I mean? But anyway, so that's my rant, is those two things. I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah. I've got another airline rant.
Go on.
Guess how much a cup of tea and a small bag of Maltesers, normal sized, cost me on Ryanair?
On.
Well,
I was desperate for some sugar, like I was going to pass out. I
Ryanair and Jet 2?
Yeah, we flew out of Bristol, but back into Bournemouth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Why?
Because it was cheaper.
Yeah, but how did you get to Bristol then?
We got dropped off and picked up.
Oh, okay. I don't have that.
Is it more or less than his pint of non-alcoholic Guinness?
It's not far off.
For a cup of tea, which is
and
peanuts.
Like, and a little bag of Maltesers, not even like
You're really
a
stressing
big size
how small this bag of Maltesers is, isn't it?
Not a share bag.
But I wouldn't, so before we answer that, I wouldn't buy anything on an airline.
I wouldn't normally, but I was like, we'd had breakfast and we were getting a Nando's on the way home and we'd had nothing in between. So I was like, if I don't eat something soon, I was feeling a bit like faint and I needed a bit of sugar.
I wouldn't actually know what a normal bag of Maltesers costs.
I mean, it's about 50p, isn't it? Is like a big bag's 80.
Is this over a fiver for your tea and Maltesers?
Yeah. We got to wrap this up anyway.
£6.
£6.22.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. 22 as well.
Yeah, it
the 22 annoys me more
like,
than anything about that.
They did it in Euro.
I don't want 8p.
Yeah. How'd you get to that?
That's ridiculous.
Right, so what's the message?
Make sure you reach out to people before you get to that point of...
Mind your head?
Yeah, right? don't hit yourself with a pen onto your headphones.
No, there's people out there to reach out to.
Yes.
They do that. Before it gets
there
to
are,
the
there
stage.
There are people out there, that's right. There are things out there. Reach out.
Absolutely. Don't be alone. Talk to people. Campaign against living miserably. The Samaritans, or if you're early on in your journey, the Brave and Determined.
And if you think somebody else is suffering and it's not you, reach out to them. Reach out the other way.
Yeah.
Just ask them, that might be all they need.
Yeah. I always think saying good morning to people is always a nice thing.
Yeah,
as well.
I like that when we like run. You see people when you run, they always say hello.
Yeah.
Or like they're walking.
But then when they don't reply,
yeah.
I'm
and
like,
then you're like, oh, sorry.
Yeah, you're like, I wish I could go back and take that back.
Yeah, take that back.
Right, Lise, you sing this out.
Oh, what should we sing out to?
Oh, I don't know.
The Easy Jet. No, the Jet 2 song.
Go on then.
Yeah.
I can't do it though very well because it's. Have you not heard it on like the Instagram?
Are you worried
memes?
You're not going to do a song very well all of a sudden?
That's a bit mean. She's an amazing singer.
Yes, you are.
Oh, I don't know, because I only really know that line.
All right, we'll sing about mountains.
Ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no valley low enough. Ain't no river wide enough to keep me from you.
Oh, that's a voice of an angel.
Sorry to everyone listening.
That was beautiful. Right, thanks, guys. We will see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.